Why would God allow a pandemic to happen? It's a very difficult question, isn't it? And I presume you've tuned in today hoping that I will give you an easy answer. This is the sort of question that always arises when some tragedy or disaster happens. Why has this happened? And more personally, why has it happened to me? I remember working with a man who said to me, "Peter, I can't believe there is a God." And when I said to him, "Why?" he told me, because his brother had died in a car accident. If there was a God, surely he would have stopped that car accident. And that's true. God can stop car accidents and can stop viruses. So naturally, when these things happen, we ask the question, why? Why did this happen? Now, this sort of question goes right to the heart of the Christian view on creation, how God created the world and why things went wrong. And I don't think you'll ever get a fully satisfactory answer to this type of question unless you actually believe that God created the world. So I'd like to look at the big story from the Bible of creation and try and get a sense or a reminder of what happened. So we go back, first of all, to the early chapters of the Bible, to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And we learn there that God created everything and created human beings. And this is the Garden of Eden. This is the perfect place. God makes it exactly how he wants to make it, and it is perfect, the perfect world for humans to live in, the perfect world for God to get to know human beings. And we see in that story that God takes six days of creative work, and then on the seventh day, he rests. Now, that rest on the seventh day is not God just having a snooze. That is the sign to us that everything is as it should be. Everything is in place. And when God rests, humans experience this deep sense of peace, what the Hebrews call shalom, and they experience a deep sense of blessing because God has created this world as a perfect world for humans to enjoy. And they now live in this world and they are there to able to enjoy it because God says to them, it's yours to enjoy. But one thing he does is he says, there will be a limit on your freedom in this world. He says, here's this world, you're free to enjoy it, but he puts a limit. He says, I don't want you to eat the fruit of one particular tree. It's as if God is just saying simply, I know the best way for you to live. It's like parents saying to their children, go out in the yard and enjoy yourselves, use the trampoline, run around, but just don't go out onto the road. We know it's not safe out there. So God says, you're free. I give you the freedom to do this. Out of his love for human beings, he says, you're free. Because love has to be free if it's truly love. Some people ask the question, why couldn't God have created human beings who couldn't have rebelled against him, couldn't have turned against him? And that wouldn't have been love. That wouldn't have been human. He would have created robots instead. So humans have this freedom, and what they use that freedom to do is to reject God's love. They decide to eat the fruit that God has said no to. And from that decision result all sort of catastrophic relationships. Everything is ruined. This perfection that God has created is ruined. And the relationship between humans and God is shattered. The relationship amongst humans is shattered. And particularly for our topic today, the relationship between humans and the world in which we live is shattered also. And we call this the fall It is the fall from perfection. The world now is not the world God made it to be. It's a broken world. I remember reading a story of an aeroplane that crashed, one of those great big aeroplanes like a jumbo or something like that. And when they investigated, when those crash investigators tried to figure out why had this plane crashed, they discovered that those big turbo engines had sucked some birds into the engine. And it would be hard to imagine that a couple of birds could bring down an aeroplane of this size, but they did. They wrecked it. And similarly, it is hard to believe that the moral choices of our original human beings could ruin the whole of creation. But that's exactly what happened. Now, God wants us to love him and he wants us to trust him, but Adam and Eve did neither. Adam and Eve used their freedom to reject God, and we have all been living with the effects of that ever since. And that includes things like pandemics and droughts and bushfires. So Christians look at the world and say, this is not the world that God created. This is not the world that was meant to be. This is a broken world, a fallen world. And that's why the world includes viruses that can kill us. If we jump all the way to the New Testament now and we look at that original apostle to the early church called Paul, when he writes a letter to the church in Rome, he's in chapter 8, and Paul is reflecting on how the world is affected, infected even, by the sin, the rebellion of human beings. And he uses language that is anthropomorphic, and he describes creation as being frustrated, as being in bondage to decay, and even groaning in pain because it is broken. That's how Paul is describing it. It's frustrated, broken, in bondage. Now, it's an unusual perspective that Paul has. You know, he's saying that that original decision by those first humans has caused this problem to creation. But that's the reality. That is what has happened, that all of creation is out of sorts. It's all broken because of what humans have done. And so what do we do? Well, we wait, and creation waits for God to make things right again. Look, we are clever people. Humans are clever, and we can do some things to make the world a better place. And if you have the capacity, the intelligence, the training, the possibility, the influence to make things better, then do that. So we should work to limit climate change. We should work to reduce the effects on soil degradation or fishing in the seas. We should use all our medical capacities to stop viruses. But what the scriptures say is that ultimately, right at the core, what the problem is something that humans cannot fix. It's that it stems from that original rebellion against God, and only God can fix that. And so we're waiting for God to do that. And that's why Christians look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know that when Jesus returns, God will make things right again. There will be a new creation, a new earth, and a new heaven. And if you're listening to this today and you've never quite worked out who is God and this whole creation thing and the world and pandemics, it's all a bit crazy and your mind gets all a bit scrambled, that's understandable. It's very confusing. The simple thing to work out is, who is Jesus? Focus your attention on who Jesus is, because the scripture says that our future is tied up with his return, and then when he returns, there will be a new creation, and And for the first time, when that happens, human beings will again experience that deep peace and that blessing that we've never experienced since that original creation. So please keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, suffering, what we're going through at the moment, whether you're suffering sort of incidentally because of the pandemic, or whether that suffering has come a bit closer to you because of ill health of you or one of your loved ones, Christians look at suffering and say, this is not a surprise. This is part of the reality of living in a world that is broken. But even this, the Apostle Paul gives us a perspective on that I think is helpful. And we're still in Romans chapter 8. If you have a Bible, have a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to read them out, but it helps, I think, to get our present suffering into a perspective. Let's read what Paul says here. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. So do you see what Paul is saying there? He's saying that, yes, there is a reality to our present suffering, but it's outweighed by something that's yet to come, which he calls glory, and that even creation is waiting with expectation for God's glory to be revealed when everything is made right. Tom Wright has a wonderful translation of this. He says that creation is on tiptoe with eager expectation, waiting for God's glory. So the story of the Bible goes to this future where our present suffering will be removed and we won't even remember it, because God's glory in creating all things new will far outweigh our present suffering. Now, that's our ultimate hope, a world of peace, a world of blessing, where there is no coronavirus and there is no death. So that's the big story of the Bible. We've looked at it from creation through to new creation. But let me ask this question, today's question, in a slightly different way, with a little bit more of a scientific hat on rather than a theological hat. I'm not qualified to really talk about science so much as others are. So I've been helped by a little book by John Lennox. I'm not sure if you can see that, but it's called Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And he quotes some very helpful research in this little booklet. So ask the question this: could God have created a world in which there were no viruses? And the answer is yes, of course, God can create any world he wishes. And when I use the word virus, naturally in our present situation, we're thinking coronavirus, we're thinking something that can really harm us, and there are other viruses that you might have in your memory banks, like Ebola or HIV, rabies, or for Australians, Ross River. And all of these are quite harmful. But did you know, and I didn't know this, all of these killer viruses add up to maybe 1% of all of the viruses in the world. And Lennox quotes the research of an Australian whose name is Associate Professor Peter Pollard, who was then at the Griffith University in Queensland. And Pollard makes these extraordinary statements, or he comes to these conclusions from his research. So I'm going to quote here from Pollard's research. The 21 viral types that wreak havoc with the human body represent an insignificant fraction of the 100 million viral types on Earth. Most viruses are actually vital to our existence. And then Pollard goes on to measure all of these viruses and even to weigh them. And he says this, and I'm quoting, "The sheer number of these good viruses is astonishing. If you lined them all up, they would extend for 10 million light years, or 100 times the distance across our galaxy. And then get this, collectively, they would weigh as much as 75 million blue whales." How Pollard manages to weigh all these viruses, I don't know. But that is a lot of good viruses, isn't it? He finishes by saying, "Viruses are our smallest unsung heroes." So, 99% of viruses are helpful, beneficial. They're doing their busy work in our ecosystems and in our food chains. COVID-19 is part of just that tiny percentage of viruses that can do us harm. Why am I telling you all this? It's just another way of reminding you that the world God created is a beautiful world. It's a wonderful world, a world to be enjoyed, but it's a broken world. It's not a perfect world. Even 1% of things going wrong can have such a disastrous impact. And the Apostle Paul says this is because the world is groaning, is frustrated, is not the world God meant it to be. And I'm sure that God grieves over the state of the world, grieves that there is a pandemic, and grieves at the mess we've made of the world. And he longs to restore us and longs to know us. And that's why he sent his son Jesus into this very broken world to show us that he hasn't abandoned us and to show us that he still loves him. And that's why I encourage you, if this is all a bit confusing, is to focus your thinking around the person of Jesus. God hasn't abandoned us, and we learned last week that we can bring our prayers, we can bring our laments, the pain that's inside us, we can bring those to God, we can express those to God. And even if, like Job in the Old Testament, someone who lost everything, even if, like Job, we don't get all the answers to our questions, it's reassuring to know that God is there, that God has not given up on this world and he's not given up on us. So may God bless you and keep you safe. May he bring you healing and wholeness to our entire world. And may you know that your future is safe in the Lord Jesus. Amen.